Good morning to each one here this morning. I too greet you in Jesus' name. Special welcome as well to everybody who is back at Kirkwood. It's good to see. It's good to have everybody back here again, and to swell the crowd. And it's good to see a nice full house here this morning. Also, want to thank all of you who have given in the offering there this morning. I just glanced at the board in the back, and yous have exceeded my request, and thank you for that. That helps make my job easier as well. You can open in your songbooks to number 153. And I just wanted to read this song. Because it has a lot to do with what I want to share about here this morning. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love, so sure, shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints' and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever more endure the saints' and angels' song. I titled my message the same as the title of that song there, The Love of God. And I've been thinking about the love of God here recently, dwelling on that thought, doing some Bible study on it. And I'm not sure what all has prompted those thoughts. Maybe some of it was over this last week as our country celebrated a holiday where people are to remember love, a day set aside where love for one another is displayed. And as I thought about human love, I could not help but think of the source of all love, and that is God. God is the source of love. And as I thought of the source of love, I also had to compare that with human love. And I noticed a few differences. Number one, the one thing I thought about was that so much of what the world calls love around us is just cheap selfishness. Now, I know there's many families, couples around us that would not even be Christians, that have a sense of love, but yet oftentimes underneath there's a selfishness that goes along with that. And then also, as I thought about love, I like what I see or feel in our churches and communities, and how that is so much better than what the world has to offer. And maybe that thought came as I was at the viewing across the road last week on Wednesday afternoon of Levi's wife there. And I could see that he really loved his wife. He was committed to her. Even though she was paralyzed and had been sick for a good many years, had went through a lot of different operations, yet he still loved her. And he was committed to her. Even though health and perfection had left her, he still loved her. And also, there was this genuine caring love by the community around here. There, people gathered together because they had love for each other. They cared for one another. They were there to lift up the hurting, to support each other. And I just really, as I thought about that, I thought that it has to be closer to what God expects love, or closer to a God's love than what the world around us celebrates. As compared God's love in comparison to the love we humans try to give, I see how so many, In so many ways, our love is nothing, though, compared to God's love. As we still think about that type of love in comparison to what God has, we see the shortcomings of each of us. Even those of us who think we love our spouse or love the church at Kirkwood or love God, we know that times we fail and fall short of what this true love. So back to the song here, it talks too about how if the ocean was ink and the sky was parchment and every person was a scribe, we could not write God's love. And that's how I feel this morning. I feel like I'm wrestling with a subject that is beyond my own comprehension. But my burden for the message this morning is to help us see God's love, how to get it, and what it will make us do. And I know we as Mennonites maybe tend to not talk about God's love as much. We don't emphasize love, the love of God, or strictly the love of God, for fear that we'll be like some of the churches around us who dwell on God's love so much you can do nothing to lose your salvation. And I want to make that very clear here this morning too, that this God's love that is over us, although it is very kind, very caring, very compassionate, we will look at some other things here this morning as well, that God is more than just love, and he has very much wrath for sinners, or those who have not chosen him. But I do want to bring out the point that God is love, and God cares for us. Turn in your Bible to 1 John 4. Some verses here, and on top of, starting at verse 7, the heading above that is, in my Bible, is the source of love. And as I mentioned before, God is the source of love. The first section I have here is to help us see God's love. A little bit what it is. I feel it's very small. I mean, I don't feel I have a lot on what God's love is, or I should say God's love is much larger than I'm able to talk about here this morning. 1 John 4, verse 7. Let's stand together to read these verses. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Let's all read it together. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You may be seated. The first point is that God is love. God is the source of love. And I like to think about love as one of God's main attributes. But as I mentioned before, because of sin, God also shows some of his other characteristics. And we'll look at that later. He is where love starts. Without him, we would not know what love is. God loves his people. He wants what is best for them. Just like you mothers here this morning, you love your newborn babies. You do what is best for them. You take care of them. That same feeling, that same compassion comes from God. You get that from, that is how God feels to you. And that God is the source, so in a way you get that feeling from God and you pass it on to your children. In the same way, God loves and cares for us. And as also said in the song here, too, God's love is never ending. It continues. There's nothing, it doesn't matter where we are or how far away, and I want to be careful how I say this, we can stray from God's love, but it reaches all around the world. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, doesn't matter if you're what country you're in, God's love reaches there as well. God's love gives, and we see that in these verses here. He sent his only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sin. God loves us so much that he gave his only Son. It's a giving love. He gave of himself so that we as sinful people could be saved and enter into a relationship with him. So God's love is a giving love. Also, God's love only extends to those who realize their need of him and have accepted him. God loved us first. We see that. I don't have that jotted down, which verse it is there in 1 John, but it says that he loved us first, also in Romans 5:8. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love was available before we ever chose it. God's love was there before we accepted it. And as I said before, God's love is available to all sinners. God does not love sin or sinners, but he makes it available to sinners. And that's maybe a little bit of a hard concept to wrap my mind around. God loves everybody, but if we're deliberately choosing to not accept him, his love is not on us. And I would be open to some more input after the service if you can help me grasp that point a little bit more. If we think of the rich man and Lazarus, when did God stop loving him? Because we knew that when he was in hell and Lazarus on his bosom, he cried out to God and said, "Bring me water." And God no longer had love for him, because at that point he was past the reaches of God's love. Did God love the rich man until his dying day? I'm not sure where that line is. Or was God's love not on him in this earth because he was not choosing to follow him? God's love also draws us to him, as we see in these verses as well. We will be drawn to him. If we accept this love of God, God dwells in us. Not like a human love where a husband and wife, they love each other and then they dwell together. This relationship of God and us is even closer than that. God comes and dwells inside of us. He makes himself part of us, and then his love can shine out through us. He dwells in us, not only with us, but in us. God's love removes fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Another concept that for me is a little hard to grasp on how God's love completely removes fear. It casts out fear. So why do we as Christians sometimes still have fears? Is it a lack of trust in God's love? Or is there something that we're doing wrong that if we have fear? Or is fear just a human emotion? Again, probably put out more questions there than I actually have answers for. But we do need to trust in God's word and the love of God, and that he is caring and he cares for us. And I think in the end that will help remove our fears. God's love changes our lives. Turning back to 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We will do things that are not normal for our human nature. We will give of ourselves to others because of the love of God that is in us. We will lay down our lives for the lives of our brethren. Turn to Romans 8, verse 36. And this point here is that there is no earthly experience can take God's love away from us. Romans 8, verse 36 to 39. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in this life can remove us from the love of God except our own choice. Now, that's where we differ maybe in comparison to some people. Some people would use these verses to say that once you've become a Christian, it doesn't matter what you do, God still saves you. And that's not true. There's nothing earthly that can take God's love away from us except our own choice. And we need to make that choice to walk away from his love. Or the choices that we make, that if it's not following his commandments, will separate us from the love of God. This morning, you have the power to stand God's love, or you have to have God's, I'm sorry, you have the power to stay in God's love. It is your choice this morning whether or not you're going to have the love of God upon you if you choose to live for him. You also have the power to have God's love removed from your life if you make choices that are against his will. The second section I have is to see what we need to do to gain this love. To look a little bit farther into how we can have God's love in our lives. First, accept Christ and his love for us. We need to accept God's love. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. If we seek him, we will find him. Also, John 3:36, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then also, 1 John 4, verse 15, the verses we read, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So we need to, first of all, we need to accept Christ. We need to accept God's love for us. We see there in the first verse I read, it is never too early to seek Christ. When we come to the place in life where we realize there is right and wrong, and we believe that there is a God, and we know that there is a Son, his Son who has died for us, then we're at the place where we need to make this decision, this choice. Are we going to live our life for him? Are we going to be willing to follow him? Are we going to continue to do our own will? And I think Brother Linden had helped clarify in my mind back at revivals that no, you will not hear an audible voice, but it's more of a choice that we choose to allow Jesus to reign in our lives, take control of our hearts, and we choose to follow him more so than him audibly calling us. So first of all, we need to make this choice if we want God's love upon our lives. If we do, then the love of God will be upon us and in us. Secondly, we need to continue to follow his teachings. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. The phrase I wanted to pull out in there is that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. See, we need to walk in a way that is pleasing to God if we want his love to be on our lives. I said, how do we do that? And that is to continue to follow his teaching. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and then my Father will love him. God's love will be upon us if we keep his words. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a point where we differ from a lot of people around us, other churches and preachers. We say you need to continue to obey his commandments if we wish to stay in God's love. Not obeying his commandments will separate us from the love of God. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and let me just turn to those verses. I think I must have missed part of it here. 1 John 5:1. Through 3, yes. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begotteth love him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It is a joy to keep his commandments. It should be a joy to keep his commandments, and in doing that we will have the love of God upon us. Follow God's word. If we do this, we can have the assurance that God's love is with us. We can also have the assurance that we will make it to heaven if we're living by God's commandments. I also believe that God is gracious with those who have accepted him into their lives. Just like your children, just like you that have children here this morning, you call them your children, even when they disappoint you at times. And God is the same way. When we have chosen to accept him, when we have chosen to allow him to direct our lives, we will make mistakes and we will still be his children. It is not unless we deliberately sin or turn our backs on God, then his love leaves our lives. The third section is to show how God feels toward those who have not chosen him. It seemed like as I studied the love of God, you could not help but look at the opposite of love, and that is the wrath of God. And I just have a number of verses jotted down here. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Also Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. And in Psalm 7:11, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God has no time for sin or unrighteousness. It displeases him greatly. We see there in Psalms, it says he is angry with the wicked every day. If we are living in sin, God's love will not be upon us, but his wrath will be upon us. And as we think about God's love and how strong and how powerful it is, I can hardly fathom in comparison to what God's wrath must be upon those who deliberately choose to sin or never are willing to accept his leading and direction in their lives. Fourthly, what will this love of God, what will it make us do? And my desire of this message has been to help each of us to dwell on the love of God. God is good and wants the best for his children. He loves you, he cares for you, and takes care of his own like no human can do. But his love also asks some things of us. In order to be in the love of God, there will be things that we need to do or will do. Turn to John 10, verse 17. I think this may be one of the foundational steps of following Christ, and maybe also the hardest that goes against our human nature. Now, these here are the words of Jesus, but I believe this applies to us as well today. John 10, 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." God's love will be upon us if we're willing to lay down our life. If we're willing to give up my life, that will be a result of God's love on our lives. As was mentioned before, to keep his commandments in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We will continue to follow God's word and his direction. It'll be an ongoing process of living for him, a continuation if we continue to, or the love of God will make us do that. Turn to John 13, 34. And I have this one just titled as "Love Others." The love of God will cause us to love others. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Love others as God has loved us. And we say, that's as us as humans, that's almost impossible. That's something that, are we even capable of doing that, to love others as God has loved us? But it's something we should be striving for, or trying, to have that love for others the same as he has that love for us. 1 John 4:11, which we read, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And then 4:21, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." You see, there's this direct connection. If we love God, we will love our brothers. And there's other verses that say you can tell if a man loves God if he's loving his brothers. And we can tell if the love of God is in him. A challenge for each of us this morning. Is that love, as that love of God and God dwells in us, is it shining out, and is it reaching out to the brothers and sisters that are sitting by your side here this morning? Also, this love of God will have us looking for the mercy of the Lord. Turn to Jude 1, verse 21. This here verse emphasizes two points. One is that we need to do some things in order to keep ourselves in the love of God. And secondly, let's just read the verse here. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourselves in the love of God. Take these steps, do these actions in order to keep ourselves in the love of God. Then, as I said, looking for the mercy of the Lord. Keep longing for him. Keep seeing his work and mercy in our everyday lives. Keep desiring God's love on our life, and let his love shine through us, because his love shining in us or through us, it will shine much brighter than we ever could shine on our own. You know, there's some people who live a fairly good life on their own without Jesus in their lives, and that light shines bright, but it is nothing in comparison to what God can do shining out through us if we allow him to work in our lives. In conclusion, a verse here. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, and live in peace. And this God of love will dwell in us. So I hope this morning, although I said we barely scratched the surface on God's love, I hope we can realize that, or see God's love and care for his people. He's there for us, and he wants what's best for us, but We need to make the choice. We need to accept it, and we need to continually live faithfully so that we can continue to have His love on our lives. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.